Let's have them. The Gemara that you have at the top, Yevavim Beis, is probably familiar one way or the other. Tana Rabbanan Averus, Shehizvad Alem Yom Kippurim Zeh, Lizvad Alem Yom Kippurim Acher. First opinion of the Gemara is that if a person has already done Vita, has already performed Tshuva on whatever Aver happens to be, so it's not appropriate to come back the following year at whatever point in the future and revisit those same Averus. Mishina Behem, Tzorach Lizvad Alem Yom Kippurim Acher. However, if a person returns to those same averos, and he wasn't successful in eradicating that avera from his repertoire, from his routine, so then it makes sense to do vidui the following year at Yom Kippur. Gemara says, according to this first opinion, Tanakama, that if he goes ahead and repeats his vidui, even though he's already done tshuva, and he hasn't revisited that avera, so then that's like a dog who goes back to eat its own vomit. Okay, pretty striking to show us. Okay, but the Tanakhama obviously thinks it's not such a good thing. You do an aver, you do shuvah, you have to move away from it. We can understand that it's important not to dwell on a person's averus, and it's more important to look forward and see where you can grow and don't get hung up on the past. Blaz ben Yaakov Omer, Kol Shekein Shu Meshubach. Blaz ben Yaakov says no. It's a good idea to revisit those same averus. Keep your list from year to year, and make sure that your alchitz encompass even averus that have already been atoned for in previous Yom Kippurim. Kol shekein shu meshubach, that's even better. Shenemar ki pishay ani eda v'chatosai negdi somed. David Melch says in Tehillim that my averus are always in front of me, and that which I've done wrong, I always keep on the radar. Just because I've done tshuva before in the past doesn't mean that it's totally out of the system. At least as far as my own hakar, my own remembrance of that past is concerned. What do I do with the pasuk though? What do I do about the dog? Almani makayim kekel shavalkeo kiravuna damar puna kivin sheover adam avir b'shinu ba hutrilo. What does it mean to go back and to eat your own vomit, so to speak? The mashal, the Gemara says, a person does an avira and then goes back and does the same avira again. So the Gemara says hutrilo. It's mutzer for him, meaning pashpachat sounds like great. Now it's mutter. It doesn't make any sense, obviously. Just because a person does an avira more than once, so it's not mutter, ela ema nisus ol keter. It's as if it has become for him heter. In other words, there's a certain degree of desensitizing that one can inadvertently perhaps do to himself. If you do an avira more than once, so even if you have the motivation, you have the conscience to want to do tshuva the first time around, once it's become something that you're more accustomed to, once there's an esraglus, so then it's hard to go back and see the same damage taking place, and it's almost like a tetzer. He's not going to think about it as an avera any longer because he's already become accustomed to it. Okay, and Shari Tshuva, the next Mar Makam, so Rabbeinu Yonah says that this is number two, but one of the primary difficulties and negative sides of a person who delays doing tshuva. The first example he gives, which you may be familiar right at the beginning of the Sefer, is just not even recognizing the fact that they have the opportunity to do tshuva is in its own right a dangerous and negative quality to have. But on a practical level, he says, the negativity that exists, the person who delays doing tshuva, yashonu b'cheto tshuvasu kosher ki naisa lo achid keter. B'zeh kovdim od chatoso. The aver gets, so to speak, worse, because it's nice as lo keheter, because he's desensitized and it becomes like it's mutter for him. Kmo shenemar, hinei dibarti v'taseh aros v'tuchal, bir v'tuchal ki aros, nice as lo keheter, ukedavar shu b'yachol tucha u'brishuscha. Miloshon l'sucha lechol b'sharachi. Quotes pasuk in Re'eh, Torah says, l'sucha lechol b'sharachi, not allowed to eat ma'aseh sheni at home. You have to bring it to your shalim, you have to be poded, you have to redeem it, bring the money to your shalim, and eat the food there. Pasuk says, l'sucha lechol b'sharachi. You can't eat it at in your hometown. What do you mean you can't? I'll pick it up, I'll put it on my fork, and I'll put it in my mouth. So lo sucha means no. There's a halacha. The targum over there, he quotes the targum. Uncle says leislach rishu. You don't have the permission to do so. The physical capability lo yuchal is translated as the inability from a halachic standpoint. Meaning a din, an isser, has to have such a force in our mindset that I can't walk into the McDonald's because I could walk into the McDonald's. So too on a vera which maybe we don't hold as as catastrophic because we haven't been as accustomed to it in an earlier point in life. So it has to, we have to develop, we have to generate that sense of, I can't. I, even if I want to, I can't. Sfaradis. Likewise, if a person doesn't have that cognizance of the Sfaradis of the Aver, because he's done it more than once, so he won't maintain the same Leis Lach Rishu, the Ani Lo Yachol, that a person's ultimately supposed to maintain when it comes to Averis. And then he quotes the same Gemara in Yuma, actually appears in Arm Seth and Kedushin, Kevin Sha'avar Adam Aver Vashinaba, Nisus Lokater. Okay, so this is not a new idea. I think we're all familiar with the fact, and Chazal make it very clear over here that the more a person is submerged in Avera, not even submerged, but it's something that they've done even twice, more than once. Once, okay, strike one already, you have the pangs of guilt and charata, and you can do tshuva, but there's no baseball over here. You don't need three strikes. It's like the Gemara, even twice. Already, you tarnish that capacity to maintain the sensitivity to the Avera. Okay. What I want to talk about now as we move into Parshas Nitzavim is something a little more subtle. It works with the same koach of desensitizing, but is a lot harder to pick up upon and a lot harder to be aware of, because it's something that exists within our environment. You'll see what I mean in a few minutes. But if we can understand the impact that doing an avera more than once can have based on these marmakamos, so there's more that we can appreciate, again, on a more subtle level, but all the more so important because it's harder to detect. It says in Parshas Nitzavim, right at the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu assembles all of Klal Yisrael on the day of his death. Rashi says this is the final day of Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, and therefore it's a time to give them Moshe Shemuz, to send them off with the appropriate messages that'll last them long after he's gone. And you skip forward a little bit. Let's go to Pasuk Tezvot. The Pasuk right before the bolded text. So Klal Yisrael doesn't live in a vacuum. Even though they're living in the Midbar, they have the experiences of living in Mitzrayim, the Mentes Shari Tuma, the lowest of the low. They were totally submerged in Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos, etc. But Tir'u es Shikutzeihem, not only in Mitzrayim, Pasuk also details the other nations that they brushed paths with along the path through the Midbar. But Tir'u es Shikutzeihem es Gilui Arayos. So part of that encounter with other cultures, with Ode Avodah Zarah, is you saw their religions. You witnessed the Avodah Zarah that they worshipped. But to Shikutzahem, look at the Rashi in the next Maramokum, Shikutz. Shikutz is a very, very strong term. Like Bal Tishaktu. Literally means don't do something that is abominable, that's disgusting. So Rashi, Al Shem Shem, Me'usim, repulsive, Kishkutzim. What's Shikutzim? Like bugs. Yeah, like, you know, crawling with bugs. Disgusting. And the puzzle continues. Is gilulehem Rashi shemusrochem umuusim kigol. It's so repugnant and so deteriorated, like feces. No other way to describe it. That's how Rashi. Okay, so we're talking about Avodah Zarah in very, very harsh terms, trying to conjure up an imagery that makes someone want to vomit when they think about Avodah Zarah. Right. That's not what we're talking about. The puzzle continues. Eitzva Evan, the Avodah Zarah, it's made out of wood, it's made out of stone. Kesef Zav Sheri Mohem, the ones that are made out of silver, gold, they're made out of all kinds of materials. Okay? So you have this really, really strong imagery that's created. The picture that Moshe Rabbeinu paints is of absolute disgust for the Avodah Zarah. And then what does it say in the very next puzzle? Pen Yesh Bacham Isho Isha, O Mishpach O Shevet, maybe there's an individual, there's a family, there's a Shevet. Shevet, we're talking about huge numbers of people. Okay, not just an individual, not just a family, but a shevet. And maybe in the back of your head, tens of thousands of people, they haven't told us about it yet, but tens of thousands of people in the back of their mind are thinking, you know what, maybe that's the way to go. Forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're going to go after the goal. We're gonna you know, pick up a little more Baal Peor. Okay, you know, Hamevin Yavin, but that's what we're trying to get it over here, right? That's a pella. How do you read those two psukim next to each other? How do you go from one description where it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, you know, heart to heart. Yeah, heart to heart chaburis. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, you know, we've been there, we've done that, we've seen Mitzrayim, we've seen their Avodah Zarah, and he says, yeah, you know what I'm thinking, and I know what you're thinking. Golol, Me'usim, Shkutzim, right? And then comes along the next psukim and says, but maybe you haven't totally, you know, taken it out of your, you know, back of your mind. Maybe there's still a Yitzhara. For the shkatzim, for the Avodah Zarah, that's most, and it's just hard to picture why you need to give such a musar, why you need to be suspect of anyone after what seems to be the accepted perception is that the Avodah Zarah is absolutely repulsive, and why would anyone have any interest whatsoever? And that's how the Mustar Shmuz goes. And if you look in the Chumash, you continue parsing the Tavim. When Rabbeinu talks about the people who do follow after that taiva, and lo yovah Hashem slach lo, and destruction in Eretz Yisrael, and Golos. So this is reality. It's reality. Not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, after I die, I know you're going to follow that reality, despite the fact that I've described it in such harsh terms. So what's going on over here? What's going on over here? So, one story that I heard, many stories, with the Baruch Hashem, I'm blessed. You know, it's almost 20 years that I'm here on this campus since I started MTA. So, one of my men, Rebbe, is Baruch Hashem, is Rabbi Yitzhak Cohn. So, you know, it's a very special privilege to have a Rebbe who knows you since you're in high school. I've literally watched you every step and just about every year of the way, you know, to actually being a Rebbe in Yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. And you know, so many memories from Rabbi Cohn's shir back in high school and through the years. I remember him telling a story, which I think sheds light on this passage in the parsha. Rabbi Cohn said he was walking down the street, Chol Bar Ilan. Those of you who know the area near Shmuel Navi, and not so far from Geula, that part of Yerushalayim near the Mir, Mal Dafna, Sanhedrin. So Bar Ilan during the week is a very busy street. It's a real thoroughfare, and on Shabbos it's blocked off. But unfortunately, over the decades, it's also been sort of the seat of controversy, because if there's anywhere you wanted to go to make a statement, driving your car, your taxi through a Haredi neighborhood on Shabbos, that was the place where people went. And there were times, there were years where people, Hasidim and residents of the neighborhood, would line up on the side of the streets with the stones and dirty diapers and who knows what, throwing at the cars going by. Okay, so that's a whole other Pandora's box. I don't want to talk about that controversy. Okay, maybe we'll come back a little bit later. But Rabbi Cohn said he was once walking down Rehob Bar Ilan on a Friday night. And there's a Hasidic Yid a few feet away, and all of a sudden a car comes by. And the Chassid yells, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. The car goes by. So Rabbi Cohn, after the car had passed, he walks over to this Chassid. He says, Rabbi Yid, I don't understand. You think if you yell Shabbos at this guy, he's not going to pull over his car to get out on the curb, take out a glass of wine and make kiddush? You know, what's it going to do? He knows what he's doing. You know what he's doing. What's it going to accomplish? So the Chassid answered him something very powerful. He said, you're right. I don't think the guy's going to come out of his car and make kiddush. But I'm not yelling for him. I'm not yelling Shabbos because he needs it. I'm yelling Shabbos because I need to hear it. Because if every Shabbos goes by, and there's a car driving by, and I see that, and I experience that, little by little it chips away to the extent that there's a danger that at some point it's not going to leave an impression on me. I'm not going to feel it. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to be affected in the same way by watching the Chil Shabbos as I am now. And I need to yell Shabbos to myself. I need to make a stand, even if no one's listening, but I'm listening. It's Kedai just for that reason. Egoi Tal writes, and Egoi Tal, Sach Tov HaRebbe, wrote one of the most important Sifrei Halacha on Hilchos Shabbos that's been written in the last several hundred years. And I don't think he writes this in the Hagdamah to a Sefer, but I heard once that he said about himself that the reason he was Zocha to write a Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos was because in his entire lifetime he only saw Hilchos Shabbos three times. He only saw it three times. He said, for me, the force of Chil Shabbos, or the Kedusha of Shmir Shabbos, was still so strong, because I just didn't witness Chil Shabbos throughout my life, except for these isolated incidents. So I could write a Sefer on Chil Shabbos, because I had within me that the Hargosha, the sensitivity, was not diminished just by those limited encounters over time. I think Divrei David came to Yerushalayim towards the end of his lifetime. I heard this once from a friend, Waxman. And the Talmidim noticed that he never left his house over the course of Shabbos. And they asked why. The Talmidim could give shiurim, why he was always staying in his house in Yerushalayim on Shabbos. So he said, I'll tell you the reason. The reason is because the first Shabbos I was here in Yerushalayim, I left my house, went to shul. And unfortunately, on the way home, I saw Chil Shabbos. I fainted. Next week, I went out. Same thing happened, unfortunately. That would get in faint. He said, Oy bazoy, I can't go outside of my house on Shabbos. Again, we're talking about tzaddikim ha'omdim b'rum shalom. Okay, we're not holding by this, okay, because we don't live in the same reality. But on his level, he felt that one re'i of Chil Shabbos was so powerful that it diminished his sensitivity. He couldn't go out of his house anymore on Shabbos. Very, very powerful. Rabbi Shaftar told me once that his grandchildren live in Eretz Yisrael. When they walk in the streets of Yerushalayim on Shabbos and they see a car going by, they say, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. So he asked him, why are you saying Mazel Tov? He said, oh, there must be a baby who's about to be born. You know, why else would someone be driving on Shabbos? It must be they're on the way to the hospital. It's an emergency, and the mother has to get there to the hospital to deliver the baby on Shabbos. It's a beautiful story, but it's a reality. I mean, where they are, where they're holding it, and the environment of their Shmir Shabbos, so you can't fathom anything else. You can't fathom anything else. And if you have to, so you're down the cops list. It must be that there's a baby being born. We'll come back to that in a little while. But it's a very powerful thought. If you look at the, I think you have it at the bottom of that page. This is from Rav Nevin Sol Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, Chilul Beis. Hey, im yesh inin lo liros Chilul Shabbos, is there an inin not to see Chilul Shabbos? Im yesh hedlo bein maisa shal goy lo maisa shal yisrael mumar, ma din Chilul Shabbos anaysa di yehudi shal osu behetri goch nevish. Is there a difference between a Jew or non-Jew who's doing Chilul Shabbos? What if it's goch nevish? He's on Hatzalah. Tshuva, kishe goy osu malacha o yehudi lo tzok goch nevish mutar. There's no problem with seeing a guy who's doing Chol Shabbos or a Jew who's doing it when it's much to do so for Pekuch Nefesh. Yehudi Mechal Shabbos Chas V'Shalom Tzarech L'Imara Miliros. But you have to try. Again, the person has to take into account sensitivities. There's not a halacha. But if there's no other considerations involved, I would inject in humbly into Nenzel's words over here, Tzarech L'Imara Miliros. You shouldn't. You have to try to avoid it. Chavetz Chaim Dorash Pam Olus Mikro Shechol Shabbos Bocha. Chavetz Chaim once darshened. It was a... He was giving a Musa Shmuz, Bachil Shabbos. And he cried as he, right? Maybe some of you have heard the story, but Chavetz Chaim, you know, talking to the Shabbos, you know, and he cried. And his tears fell from his face just by talking about Chil Shabbos. Acher's man kishir pam nasef shirochil Shabbos, ubacha, amishu margish ademos kvar in osun bos. It happened again, and Chavetz Chaim said about his tears the second time around, they weren't the same tears. Didn't feel the same emotion behind it. So Chavetz Chaim was able to maintain the same, at least he could shed those tears, but didn't have the same impact on him. It's very powerful. And I thought I'd get back to you know, throwing the stones on Shabbos. Just briefly, Rabbi Eitan Feiner had the schus to spend many summers together in Camp Simcha. My wife worked as a nurse, and he was there as well as the camp rav. And so for many hours during the day, we were the only people in the Batei Medrash where all the counselors were out with the kids. So we got the shmooze a lot. So he likes the quote from the Mashiach of Neri Yisrael, Reb Beryl. He said, I understand why are we throwing rocks? Wouldn't it be better if instead of the Hasidim or whoever's there, we should set up like a little chillin' stands, you know, and maybe some schnapps, we'll make a l'chaim. Get someone to pull over, talk, have the cholent, and have make a lechayim, and we'll do a little rikud. You know, if we show people the varmka, the warmth of Shabbos, so maybe more people will be impressed by it. You know, Nachum Siegel was here, you know, the radio host. He was here for Shabbos a bunch of years ago, and they asked him Friday night. There was Q&A. Tell us about some of the most interesting interviews that you interviewees that you ever had. So I think he said the best stories were two incidents, two times that from Karbach was on the radio show. He said one time, he said, I don't know, why are they talking about, you know, all these machals and all these protests and shutting down the cafes in Tel Aviv on Friday night. He said, just send me and my chevra in there, and I'm telling you, you don't have to have any protests, no violence, everything will be, you know, we'll take care of things. He also said the other time that Shlomo Karmach was on the show, he said, you know, what's this Middle East peace crisis? What does everyone make such a fuss about? Guns and bombs and rockets? Just send me and my chevra into the West Bank with a few guitars, and I'm telling you, we'll take care of things. He said, I've been telling the Israeli government this for years. No one's listened to me. Okay, halavai. Someone sent me an email a couple years ago that when they were making the Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim Tel Aviv highway. So they built an exit ramp that went right through, I don't know, like Kfar Chabad or something, or, you know, Hasidic neighborhood, something like that. And initially people were very upset, you know. I don't know if it was on purpose or wasn't on purpose, but you know, you can understand that it was very uncomfortable for the from the neighborhood to have cars driving by, not just cars, but it was an exit from a highway. It was a big deal. But they didn't protest. But they set up like a cholent stand, and they started inviting people in for Shabbos meals. P.S. was that the government moved the exit ramp somewhere else. So I don't know. But a person has to know when the sensitivity is the best way to approach it. But Rabbi Cohen was trying to say, bottom line, is that the sensitivity has to be maintained to the Chil Shabbos that we see. Not just Chil Shabbos, any other that a person is aware of in his or her surroundings, the reaction has to be one that ensures that safeguards are placed not for the person doing the Avera, but for the person who is in the environs of the Avera, because that also makes a difference. There's also Hashpah there. There's a few times in the Torah where you see this idea brought out. If you look on Yavi Abadrom on the second side, Abadrom says something fascinating. Right? Everyone asks difference between the first set of luchos, second set of luchos. The most famous difference is zachar v'shamar v'dibrechad by shvir shavzi. Shamar ki minag olam shalom nosim matan l'chavero ma'abda. Let's say you give a kid a present, you give him a prize for something he did, right? And then what happens? An hour later, he loses it and he comes back to the teacher and says, "You know, I lost my prize. Can I have another one?" Achak nosim olam matan l'chavero. So you feel bad for the kid and give him another prize. So now you don't just say, "Congratulations, here's your prize." You say, "Congratulations, here's your prize," but you know, be very, very careful that you don't lose it. Hashem gave Shabbos a matana, Mar says, right? Shabbos is matana tova, b'veiz ginzi, uba mekoshesh b'chala. One example we have recorded in the Torah of Chil Shabbos, the mekoshesh, right? Slavchad, or whoever it was, and he's put to death. It was one person. Right? It was one person. If you look in the description of the Torah, Pashat Pshat and the Psukim, it sounds like everyone jumped on him, right? And everyone participated in bringing him to justice and the Misa B'day Bezdin with the Skila, right? It was a big deal. And according to the Medrash, if Tzavchad was trying to set an example, he was Mamash the only guy, right? What about everyone else? Everyone else was Ish Lahav against the Chil Shabbos. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, the second time around that the Luchos were given, now he says, Shmor Yom HaShabbos, Klomer Shemru Hated. You know, like giving the kid the prize the second time around. Be very careful to hold on to it. Be very careful not to lose it. Why? It was one person, one yid from hundreds of thousands of Jews. But just the fact that the Chil Shabbos was introduced into the environment altogether was enough to diminish the sensitivity, even just the kihuzeh, that it was necessary for Kosher Baruch Hu to drive it home and say, no, gotta be extra careful. Gotta be extra careful. It's interesting. The Maral Diskin, just say it outside, you can read it in different ways, but I think what he's trying to say, Mitzvah Samelach, Rav Cement, he's Rosh Kolon, the Telsh Kolon in Chicago, so he understands the way that Maril Diskin is explaining over here in Parshat Kedoshim, what's the sort of the din of Dan Lekavskos? Yeah? So there's a mitzvah to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. You see someone doing something wrong, you have to try to explain it away. Don't assume automatic. Don't jump the gun and assume the person's doing something wrong. Maybe there's a justification. Maybe it's a b'shogeg. Chavetz Chaim, if you learn Hilchos Lashon Hara, talks about this a lot. Because that's one of the biggest problem in bringing a person to Lashon Hara sometimes is just make sure you knew that the emes is the way you understood the situation. And maybe you perceived something. Maybe you interpreted something that's incorrect. And you owe the person, again, mitzvah d'oraisa in most situations. Unless the person is not a kashri, so then it's a different story. But if he's a regular guy, he has cheskes kashri, you have to judge him favorably and assume that what he did was okay or justified in some way. Zeh Maral Diskin, it's more than that. It's more than just, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt and being nice and assuming the best and I would want someone to do that for me also. Zeh Maral Diskin, the toelis of judging other people favorably is that you otherwise you've introduced chit into your environment. If I think automatically knee-jerk reaction that guy is doing avera, without even thinking about it, now there is, not an acceptable, but there's the existence of the Avera in my environment, and that desensitizes me just a little bit. But if I look at everyone else as a tzaddik, and I look at everyone else as someone who's doing the right thing, then what happens is I'm able to save myself from the danger of feeling that chet in my environment. Now, again, sometimes there is taka, the chet in the environment. What are you going to do? Okay, so a person has to make sure he maintains that sensitivity. But the mitzvah of Dan Lekav Schulas is to help ensure and protect where you are and what you witness from the assumption that there's a veir around me, because that desensitizes me. You have on the last page of the sheet, without looking inside, but Leiv Elyo and Rav Dessler talk about this in terms of Sota, right? Will is Sota b'kukula yazir asma minayayim. If you see the Sota, right? And this punishment for sotah is very extreme. Okay, we don't have anything else like that in the Torah where it's mamish like it's a sound light show. Okay, it's people would camp out overnight, you know, to get tickets to watch the sotah, right? But the very next parsha's naso is what is nazir. So Chazal say the reason is because the effects of witnessing the sotah, right? What do you have to do? You have to go out and become a nazir and stay away from yain, because yain was what brought the sotah to Ravera in the first place. So Frekta Bali Moser, I don't understand. You need to then go ahead and become a nazir to protect yourself from the danger of the sota? What about watching the sota? It doesn't say that the guy's at home, he read in the newspaper about the sota, so he has to go become a nazir. No, the person who was there on the scene, the guy who watched the sota blow up, he has to be mazir asma minayayin. I would have thought adrabba, but that guy, go and get the best seat to watch it, because that'll leave an impression. That'll make sure you walk away feeling you know, I'm not touching that the bottle of wine anymore. Elamai zok to bali musar. No, just the idea that such an aver could happen in Klal Yisrael. That's not just something. Oh yeah, irni dachas and ben sora mora and sota. Those things never actually happen, right? Talks about it by Samanuga. Sota never actually happened. No, the fact that it wasn't just something to talk about, but it was something that actually took place and it was witnessed and it exists in Klal Yisrael. It impacts on my safeguards against arayas. It impacts upon the dangers of the frivolity that could result from too much wine. That guy Tak has to go and be mazer asma minayayin, because otherwise he's in danger, falling prey to the Yitzhahara that's got a foot in the door from the awareness that this Avera actually exists. It's pretty powerful. Very, very powerful. To bring it home, Rabbi Say. So this, I think, is what the Brisker Rav has in mind in learning Pshat and Ar Pesukim. Well, I don't know if we'll have time to see it inside, but if you look at back at Ar Pesukim, in Parshas Nitzavim, Sukta Brisker Rav, that's what's going on. We asked the Kasha, how could it be that after Moshe Rabbeinu's terrible description of Avodah Zarah, so the people come and may still be threatened by the Yitzhahara to follow after the Avodah Zarah. Zakhtar Brisker Rav, watch how the Pasuk carefully is formulated. But Tirva Shikutzehem, it's Gula Lehem, Eitzva Evan Kesav Zarah Sherimon. Moshe Rabbeinu is not just giving a laundry list of how you make Avodah Zarah, right? Shkoyach, Moshe Rabbeinu, thank you for telling me what Avodah Zarah is made out of. What does that add to the description, right? If all this was trying to drive home how terrible Avodah Zarah is, so fine. Just tell me to which good am. It's your description that makes a difference, not the periodic table of building of Avodah Zarah, yeah? So Zakht Brisker Rav like this. You come to Eretz Yisrael, you're in Mitzrayim, you have an encounter with the other guy. Ew, Shikutzayim, that's ridiculous. Why would anyone fall for? Why would anyone have anything to do with Avodah Zarah? But you know what? Wait a few days, you see it some more. There's a church down the block. Over time, your neighbor, who knows what? It morphs from being Shikutzayim, it's Gulahem. Now it's Eitz V'Evan. Now it's Eitz V'Evan, okay. Not so disgusting. Maybe it's not so ay-ay-ay either. Maybe it's not such a enticing piece of art, this idol either. But yeah, okay, it's Eitz V'Evan. Give a little more time of Eitz V'Evan, inevitably it's going to be Kesef. And you wait a little longer, it's going to be Zohar also. The danger is that over time, when we're exposed to something in our environment, when we're exposed to chayt, even if, again, our conscience and our built-in reflex is to repulse the chayt, but there's a danger. If we don't maintain the sensitivity, then little by little it eats away. And without going into detail, everyone can answer, you know, for himself, even being in yeshiva, even walking outside. It's impossible for us to stay inside. And that's not what our goal should be. And that's not the way that a person grows by overcoming the challenges of the Avodah Zarah. But at the same time, you know, Vilna Gaon, he did stay inside all day. Okay. But we're not the Vilna Gaon. We're not the Vilna Gaon. We're the Hamanan. We're regular people. And we have Nisyonos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mizgabra on the Nisyonos. But the way to be Mizgabra on the Nisyonos is not to just go out and say, yeah, it'll be okay. I know what I need to do. I'm going to stay focused on that. Simultaneously, the Avodah has to be, what am I doing to make sure that at least in the back of my head, I'm yelling Shabbos. I'm yelling Gilui Arayos. I'm yelling Pritzos. I'm yelling something to myself or amongst friends. I have a Musarvad with a Chevra where we talk about Inyanam of Avoda, where we reinforce and we remind ourselves so that desensitization does not sink in. Because once it does, it's a lot harder to do tshuva, to really revert. Rabbi Chanan, when he came to America to raise money for the yeshiva, Branovich. So he made a decision he wasn't going to have any milk as long as he was in America, because he knew that it wasn't so easy to get Chol V'Yisrael in America. And he was used to Chol V'Yisrael in Europe. So he comes to America, he tells his host, you know, no dairy products, please, because of the chum. So the host said, no problem, Rebbe, whatever it is you like, I'm okay with that, and we're happy to accommodate. Next morning, Rabbi Chanan wakes up, comes down to the table, and there he has a bowl of cereal and a glass of milk and a coffee with milk inside. And he was shocked. Last night you told me you weren't going to give me any dairy products. He said, Rebbe, I know. But that's what you said last night. I figured after spending one night in America, you know, already, you wouldn't make such a difference to you anymore. So, you know, I don't know what America was like, 75 years ago. But, you know, now we have Chol V'Yisrael on the shelf in the supermarket. But fascinating. He said, you're not going to be as sensitized to this the next day. The Gemara in Sukkah said, you have a Sukkah there on the bottom of the page. Gemara in Sukkah says, describing the Yitzhahara. Amar Rava, betchila karo helach, lasov karo reach, lasov karo ish. Gemara brings a pasuk in Shmuel where it's according to Rav, it's referencing the Yetzer Hara, where at three different stages, within just a matter of words, in describing the Yetzer Hara, pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Vayavo helech l'isha ashir, v'yachmo lakach mitzonon, mikoro lasos l'oreach, abalo, etc. And if you watch, first it says Vayavo helech, the person came walking to him, then he was an oreach, and then he was the ish. Okay? As if to suggest that the Yetzer Hara, over time, first he's just someone who's passing by, there's a Yetzer Hara near me. Little by little, he's a guest. He moved into my home. Good, but he's not here forever, right? You know, it's something that'll pass. If he's a guest in your home long enough, he becomes part of the scenery. Eventually, he's the Baal Bus. And once he's the Baal Bus, it's a lot harder to kick out the Baal Bus. Just to bring it home, Rabbi Mamish, last point. A person can ask himself, you know, I'm doing tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. I'm doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. Says me tshuva, I purify myself. Right? So I'm like a new beria. But I must just say, the point of tshuva is to recreate the individual, that I'm never going to go back to the same affairs I did before because I'm not the same person. And therefore, the gzeira that may have been delivered to me, delivered upon me in the Yemei HaDin, so after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur over, that din is not relevant to me because I'm someone else. I look at Rosh Hashanah L'Ram, and Tshuva, that's what a person's goal is. I'm a Beri Chadasha. Look at the Psik de Rabasi at the end there. So, Vasisam Olal Hashem. Mishabur brings this. When it comes to the karbonos that I mentioned, Parshas Pinchas, so by every yontif it says, "Vikraftim ola Hashem," you'll bring an ola to Hashem. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say "Vikraftim," you'll offer an ola. It says, "Vasisam ola Hashem," you'll make an ola. Vakan vasisam, Amar Yitzchak, Lama vasisam, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Asu tshuva be'elo aseres hayom bein Rosh Hashanah leyom kippurim, v'ani mezake eschem yom kippurim, ubori eschem beriyah chadasha. So the asiya. Asisam ola means you have to become something new. Not just that, Shabur brings it as not just offer carbon, make yourself a carbon. The Medrash over here understands it to mean that it's more than just offering a carbon; it's making yourself a new person. Beri chadasha. That lashon of beri chadasha is very striking because if you look in the next source, it's from Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. I'll leave you to see it inside. But he quotes from the Tanchuma, slightly different than what Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. The esachol goy gadol, right? Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, you're going to go, you're going to leave your house, your father's home, place where you grew up, and we're going to make you into a great nation. Explains the Tanchuma, I'm going to make you, right? Same word that the Psikta that we just saw plays off of as well. The Esecha, not that I'm going to put you in that role, but I'm going to make you. Right? Hashem says, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you a Beri Chadash. That's what he says to Avraham Avinu. Frekru, Moshe Shapiro, I don't understand. If you're making him a brand new Beri, what's the point of taking him out of his hometown, out of the land of Terach and the Avodah Zarah? He's a new person. So even if he was for decades, however old Avraham Avinu was at this point, 75 years old, right? However old he was, and whatever influence he had received from the neighborhood that was filled with Avodah Zarah, he had come so far. And now Hashem says, I'm going to give you Vayter, another step, not just someone who was able to overcome or cause him, but I'm going to make you a Beri Chadasha. So why does he have to be taken out of his original environs? What impact could that possibly have? Explains much more, Elmai, you see, even after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Bosai, come back after Yontif, you're a Beri Chadasha. That's our goal. But it doesn't mean that the dangers of being in the environment where there's no sensitivity to certain things, you can't just disregard it. You have to come back from Yontif beyond the process of transforming yourself now, but also making sure that the right siag is in place so that you take that Beri Chadasha, that Ruach Nachon, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Chadish Bekirbi, right? And allow it to be safe by making sure that you had that voice inside of yourself, yelling Shabbos, the voice inside of yourself, ensuring, whether it be yourself or with other people, that the strength and the power of the repulsion of chet is always something that's clear and present in our minds, even as we start a new year. Because if anything, that's when we're susceptible. We think we're all good. We think we've been purified. Zechar Moshe Shapiro. That's when Hashem Baruch Hu had to make Avraham Avinu brand new beria. Should be zochet to a Yom Noraim that brings us to a brand new neshama that's clear of any negative influence that we've received in the past. And to building the proper safeguards around ourselves to maintain that purity in the year ahead, Mr. Hashem. Have a good Shabbos. Aksivus Yom Tov.